I'm Mallory Rubin.
And I'm Van Lathan.
Check out the Ringerverse podcast from The Ringer for all things superhero movies, nerd culture, and fandom entertainment.
We have instant reviews and fun takes on all the latest news and more, available now on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise. But if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing. A line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Would I lie to you, baby? Would I lie to you?
Yes, I would lie to you. You're lying. Hi everyone, welcome to Writer's House. I hope you are all safe and well. Today we are going to be talking a little bit about North London Derby and a look ahead to Arsenal's game against Liverpool. We're going to give flowers to Jude Bellingham and Phil Foden. We're going to talk a little bit about boxing ahead of the Ben and Eubank Jr. fight. And finally, we chat a bit about the Women's Champions League draw. And my guests are Blow Lloyd Hughes and making her comeback.
Oh my God.
She's risen the queen.
Oh my God.
Jeanette Kouachi's back, ladies and gents.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it neither. I can't believe it.
I'm so happy to be back.
It's good to see you, Jeanette. You look so well.
Do I? I
feel like cool.
Everyone's cool. Fine. But I was saying to you guys, I feel like that cousin, yeah? You know when they haven't been around for time?
Yes.
And then you just walk into the party.
Everyone's all over you.
And everyone's grown up. Yes. It's like, oh, you just got to catch up. I'm so excited to be here.
Everything's changed. We're in a studio now.
We're in a studio and in person. This is mental.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to be here.
It's good to see you, man. You watched the game the other day?
Of course.
The greatest game I've ever seen. Can I just say how dramatic my son is? Because like he's very hot and cold. If we're bad, we're the worst in the whole world. And when we play, he's just sent me a message just saying, "Dad, that's the best football match I've ever watched."
Emotional, the emotion.
My mum would have said, "We're nearly killing with football."
But we're looking so good.
We look exciting.
Why though? What's happened?
No. What's happened is that what he's got is. He's got the balance. It's from the pre-season what they were doing.
Mm.
William Saliba's made a magnificent amount of difference. You know, Ben White playing there because everybody's saying, well, we're Tomiyasu. And I watched Ben White the other day and he's given us a lot offensively, even though Tottenham were very poor in picking him up. I actually done an analysis about it. But the midfield, Thomas Partey, he's in there now and he's solid. You've got Martin Ødegaard. People are playing well in the positions.
And they're settled.
And then
you've
got Saka, who's now, he's just 8 out of 10 every week. Gabriel Jesus, 8, 9, 10 out of every week. Gabriel Martinelli, flying. Xhaka!
Imagine.
Reborn!
Can you imagine?
And you know what? I was saying the other day, Jeanette.
The Xhaka rebirth is quite emotional, actually.
Given what
he went through and what the club and that relationship.
Been there? Six seasons. I feel like it feels longer.
But when you look at how many managers have kept him in there, and people saying, yeah, but all those managers can't be wrong. They're not wrong, because when you look at him as a player, individual player, and his left foot is magnificent. He hasn't got a great pace. He doesn't beat people with a ball in respects of skills. He's getting the ball in positions where he can bam, get it into the players that can make the difference, or he can bam, he can have a shot. We know he's got a great shot. I'm so pleased that he stayed there long enough, because if he left last year or any, we would have said, what was the Xhaka, what was the Granit Xhaka like tenure at Arsenal, what would it have been? And it comes down to, like I say, he's playing in a position that's no, if I was playing at right back, that's what would happen to me. I would be fouling people. I'd probably get sent off because I'm not in the position of the field where I can do my stuff, where it suits me to be. I'm really pleased for him.
Mm.
But what he's got now, he's got our goalkeeper is brilliant. Our back four is brilliant. Our midfield is brilliant. And our front men are brilliant.
It's just all brilliant.
And you know what I saw from Tottenham on a couple of occasions was, yeah, we can be breached. Like, look, like what happened with us at Man United.
Mm-hmm.
Man United is like, we just got like sucker punched.
Completely.
You know? And Tottenham weren't able to take their chances. But I don't mind that, because what we're doing is we're going forward with purpose, and we're putting teams under pressure, and we're getting the ball in the box, and we're having shots. And the fans, the place has gone to another level.
It's completely different. Like, I think it was Marwa, he said on his on Twitter the other day that Arsenal were actually loading a Premier League challenge, like, which is crazy. Like, look at...
I think we have
right, he's got to just take time.
We have to take time.
We have to take time. I'm
not taking that from Mayo as well, Chelsea fan. I'm not taking it from Mayo and saying we're loading.
No, but he said we're loading, and I feel that we are. I feel that we are.
But that's,
is it too early? Am I too excited?
No, it's not necessarily too early, because I think I was saying this to Ian yesterday. This season, it's a good time to be consistent, because everyone is really out of form and struggling and
Chelsea,
in transition.
United, Liverpool,
Chelsea, United, like City aren't perfect. Yeah. They're so good going forward, but they're not perfect defensively. So it's a good time to hit this form. But at the same time, it does feel crazy to think how Arsenal finished last season, to think how they've been across the last like 10 years, to then be like, oh my God, they actually are title challengers.
I feel really anxious.
I'll tell you why I feel anxious.
Because it's so early as well. Yeah. We literally just October.
You look at Liverpool now, and Liverpool trying to stay with Manchester City for the last 4 or 5 years.
They're tired.
To hang on like they are. Because remember, Liverpool have to get people out, get them in. You have to make sure that you're bringing people through. Man City, you know, they've got the capability of being able to get rid of Jesus, get rid of Zinchenko, get rid of Sterling.
Bring in
Alvarez, and they bring in Erling Haaland.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still bam, they're at it. And Phil Foden turns into a monster of a player up front now, scoring goals. They are the team that you have to try and hold on to. And what they've done to Liverpool is what they'll do to anyone. Mm. Okay, hang on to this shirt. Hang on to this coat if you can, bro.
And then you just drag them
along. Because we're going to go 100 mile an hour for the next 38 games. Can you stay with that?
Oh.
Liverpool tried it a couple of times, 1 point. Massive 97 points they lost the league on. They beat them one season when City, I don't know what happened with City that season, when Liverpool just like,
do you remember,
bucks them up.
Yeah, they did.
And honestly, you look at them, and that is what Arsenal have got to be prepared for if they're going to be mounting a proper challenge. They have to win games. When City win a game, that's what Liverpool done. Liverpool won a game and put the pressure back on. If Arsenal's the next team who are challenging, can Arsenal win the games to put the pressure back on City? Because City are going to need some pressure, because at the moment they're coasting. Even while they're making certain mistakes at the back, they'll be disappointed setting the free goals. But
consistency, isn't it? It's that level of consistency that is so scary and so frightening. When you see them play on the weekend, you just think to yourself,
they're scoring at
it's
will.
Disgusting.
He's not doing.
It's nasty, man. I just like it's not. You know what it is? It's not fair.
Mm.
And I think that when
it feels like that with Haaland.
It feels unfair.
It feels like they've got bought a cheat code.
Yeah. It's unfair, and he's just it's so natural, it's so casual to him, and we're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Even the commentators, when they're commentating about it, they're like, okay, we've not seen this before.
No.
Like everyone's just trying to get their head around it, let alone the footballers on the pitch.
Is
everyone okay?
Generational stuff.
You can also when they do you're right, when they do the commentary, you can always almost say this.
You know what City are able to do now? This is why they have to be easy favourites for the Champions League with him, right? Is even when they're not playing well, when they didn't used to play well, you see how it was hard for teams to break them down? Remember how Pep used to celebrate when in the end they ended up breaking these teams down? It's got five at the back and four in front. And he was so happy when they scored.
Yeah.
But now they're able, with Erling Haaland, to take a half chance and bam.
He's got it. It's just sickening.
That's it. It's done. It's like, it's going to take that. I don't, nothing stops them. But what I'm pleased about with Arsenal is that they're on the way.
Yes.
And what will happen if Arsenal continue to play like this? And they said that the team have got this many points at this stage of the season, normally end up in the top four. And then you look at Chelsea, you look at
that,
Liverpool.
You know what you scares me about that stat, though, is that someone's always got to be the first.
Someone's got to be the first.
No, I hear
that's
it.
What's scary about those sorts of stats.
Yeah, but then you look at the teams around
it's
and they're
really
very,
works,
Liverpool, for, again, we look at this game with Liverpool. This is a game where it can get Liverpool going, simply because if Liverpool can then beat Arsenal, Cattell, and like stop them in their tracks, it's going to be a tough ask because Arsenal are very confident going into it. But then Liverpool, with their couple of games in the Champions League, then they've got big games coming up as well. So this is a massive game. If Liverpool can beat Arsenal, it might give them the lift. But watching the way they defended and how disjointed they look,
it's not looking good.
You know, I don't know how they're gonna sort that out in a week.
But I think that's what would be even more monumental about how long Arsenal can hold on for or where they eventually finish, if it is even in the top two, let alone, you know, if it was a title. Yeah.
I think it's top four. We're not getting overambitious.
No, but what I'm saying is overambitious, though.
We look good.
But what I'm saying is think about the journey they've been on in the context of what they're doing right now. To even dream of that is pretty wild, given what the teams around them have achieved over the last couple of seasons, which is Champions League titles, Premier League titles. Mm. Arsenal haven't had any of that.
No.
Like, that's what's quite
the
wild.
The test is coming. If Arsenal is still here in another 8, 9 games, 10 games, and they are the ones who are duking it out with City to try and stay with City, it's how that's going to affect that squad.
Yeah.
Especially with Europa League.
How much do you think the World Cup break's going to affect?
Well, that's things? Also like if someone picks up an injury there.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my God.
And that remember, squad is light.
And remember remember as well, Erling Haaland ain't going. Everybody's talking about
Jesus
when.
Christ.
While everybody's at the World
man's
Cup.
Man's going to be in a lab, you know.
Man's going to be in a lab like Ivan Drago.
Banging bare weights.
Waiting for us. Yeah. Waiting for us to come back. You know what I mean?
So I bet he sleeps on ice.
He's got it now. He realized. I remember watching him right in that Community Shield game where he missed those chances and people were laughing, and he himself, when he was walking back, he was laughing right to himself like, oh gosh, what a miss. And I said to myself, this guy's going to really cause problems simply because that's not happening again.
Yeah, never again.
He's not missing chances like that. He's 9 away from the Golden Boot winner last season. 9.
And look where we are now.
He's 8 games in.
We are in October, the start, beginning of October.
They say if he carries on like this, he'll score 66 goals.
66 goals? Why are we laughing though? Because it could be a thing. Man scored 3 hat-tricks in 3 games. Hey, is everyone okay?
He's 9 goals. What did I see? I saw, we put up a graphic the other day on the Premier League flow where
on the hat tricks,
the next person. So he's got it in 8 games, right? He's 3 hat tricks, right? The next one I think was Michael Owen, 48 game to get 3 hat tricks.
Mitrovic has the record in the championship, which was still ridiculous, which was 43 goals in a season, and he beat Ivan Toney's previous record, which I think was like 38 or something.
Okay.
So 43 is a big season.
In championship, yeah?
Yeah, on the comms yesterday, they were mentioning Clive Allen's Spurs record, which 49. Was 49.
Okay.
So he's, I mean, that's still pretty, even God. If he gets that, it's pretty phenomenal, let alone 66.
When we look at it, like I said, I'm pleased with the way we've started. And Zinchenko and Jesus coming in there, no one will be getting carried away with what's going on. There's a whole different vibe and energy to the team. Mikel himself won't be getting carried away with what's going on. The exciting thing about Arsenal is if they carry on like this, they will be attracting. Oh, they will be attracting players. the kind of players that say, yeah, I want to go there.
Yeah.
Because you look at the crowd, you look at the stadium, it's a young team.
The energy of it.
You know what I mean? There'll be people that will want to come. You know, fingers crossed that we can stay in there and do the top four and whatever else comes of the season.
Come
because it's
on.
A long season, it's Europa okay. League stuff. You know, hopefully it doesn't kick
left.
Into too much of the squad and people get injured because, again, that's a problem for us. But I can't help. You could see I'm smiling, isn't
it? You're so smiley.
I can't. I'm happy.
Of
I'm
course,
happy for
so
them.
You should be. It's amazing.
I'm happy for them.
Happy days.
Long may it continue.
Amen.
Okay, before we move on, let's talk about England, USA.
USA.
I'm really looking forward to the game.
It's going to be good.
Really looking forward to the game because the thing is, I think us announcing it 48 hours after
the Euros
is saying we're ready.
Yeah.
We're ready for it now. But like, I like it. That's what they're saying,
yeah.
Jeanette, because it doesn't matter what happens over here in Europe, especially when Germany were winning it all the time. But now we've got Holland have won, Netherlands have won it, we've won it. But the test is always
the
USA.
Americans. Yeah. It's the USA. Big one.
And they would have been
the
watching the Euros.
Yes.
Yeah. And they would have been saying, oh, is it now?
Yeah, they want to prove who they top
dog is. There's no way that the USA are not 90,000 sellout at Wembley.
Jeez.
America's coming over to try and put us in our place. We are now in a place where, well, I think that America are transitioning.
Yeah, 100%. Their manager is under pressure. If this game doesn't go well, there'll be a lot more questions about him, because there's already been questions
before the World Cup.
Since he took over. We're 8-9 months away from the World Cup. So these next round of games, they've got matches against England and Spain. They're missing some key players as well. Big games.
Morgan's not come across because
they're
having their kind of like playoff times over in WSL now, aren't they?
Yeah, so it's
because if it was a World Cup, if that was a World Cup game, she'd be playing.
Yeah, it's the calendar in different stages. Obviously, it's been the start of the WSL season.
Mm-hmm. And NWSL's finished,
and
right?
And NWSL's coming towards the end, mm-hmm. So it's crunch time. Some players are not in the playoffs. Mm. Some players are in the playoffs. Okay. Megan Rapinoe's had a brilliant season. Mm-hmm. Her team are in the playoffs, but Alex Morgan hasn't come over. Her team are also in the playoffs. She's had one of her best ever seasons.
Yes.
She's not here.
And she won't be here. So that benefits England a little bit, but England have their own injury issues. In Leah Williamson, who today's been announced is injured. And so Lotta Woman Moyes come in. Alicia Russo. Nikita Paris has come in. And Lucy Parker.
Lucy Parker,
who's just come in. This is her first call up. She's also injured, which is a massive shame.
Do you think they'll bring up my Leticia in?
No news on that at the moment, but who knows?
Everyone's looking
dropping
at Maya
like flies.
And thinking like she should be getting a call. What's going
there's
on?
There's people
and
saying that she should have got it before.
Serena did say like she's close, but she felt like defensively, like offensively, she said she's
there,
unreal
yet.
And she, you know, she's already scored a couple of goals this
season.
She's
not quite there
But defensively, she felt like these players were doing more and that's why they got the call up. But she's so close. She's been flying in the 23s, so she'll be
fantastic.
There. She'll be there, but I think the injury issues are a worry, like,
yeah,
for sure.
Massive. But then it's exhaustion, isn't it? When you do a championship like that, you know what it's like, Ian? Like, your whole body, it almost shuts down.
Yeah.
It gets ready for that one big moment. Yeah. Then after that, you've got to get yourself back up again. Yeah. They started back up the WSL.
And then they bam, bam, bam.
And they didn't. Yeah, they didn't. They had, a lot of them had maybe like two weeks off, and that was
enough.
It.
It's nowhere near
And then
near
some
enough.
Of them had to go into Champions League qualification and
international games before the season starts.
But even that time off, Flo, they've got all of the press stuff they're doing, all the sponsors. Like, it's a lot. The newfound fame and everyone's onto them, which is why when a lot of the girls retired straight after, I was like, yeah, it makes sense. Because they're just absolutely exhausted.
And also, without Ellen White there now,
oh my God,
Alicia Russo's carrying a lot of pressure.
So much.
Beth England's not in this squad. Mm. So there's going to be a lot of pressure now on Ebony Salmon, Lauren James, perhaps Rachel Daly will play up top
that's what they should do.
It's a great time to try it. It's a good time to try it, but at the same time, like, I really fucking want to beat the USA.
I'm not here for experiments, I'm here to win.
I wanted to beat them
with Alex Morgan and the team, and then do reverse tea celebration.
The tea celebration will come, but you know, I'm quite pleased that she went back, because obviously she just had a baby. And she's over in COVID, and everybody's talking about like, oh, she didn't do it. No, she's playing unbelievably now, and she's somebody, like I say, she would have been, if this is a World Cup, she'd be here, because I believe that she'll be leading their line. Come the World Cup.
Oh my gosh.
But like, World Cup. Look at their teams getting to that stage. You know, you've got Rapinoe, she's 37. You know, she's 34, Alex Morgan. You know, the captain, Sabrin.
Yeah.
You know, another one. 30,
I think she's 32, maybe something like that.
It's an older squad.
They're in transition. I mean, they've got some much younger players.
They called up
a teenager in, I think it's Alicia Thompson.
Alicia Thompson. She's like 16, 17, isn't she?
Yeah. And so he's trying to transition this squad, but it's not quite working at the moment. But that's why I think England can feel confident that they've been through a major tournament with a select group now.
But if we were to lose to this transitional USA side who know how to play in these big games, we know how to play in the big games now, but you'd really wanted us to have our top top players playing.
Yeah.
Because the thing with America, they've come over to play us and Spain. Obviously, the Spain game is going to be a non-entity simply because of the amount of players that are on strike there. Mm. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
And so the England game is the one what the USA will focus on. And they, in this moment, because if I was playing for the USA and they are transitioning, I'd want to beat them.
Yep.
So as they can see, we're not even at our... But we're not even at our full
100%.
I know, that's what would worry me. They've got a girl in high school coming. Imagine. Yeah. Like, you need a child.
You know, like, you know, they already beat us back in the 50s 1-0 and we're still hearing about it. The fact is, I remember I was playing for England when they beat us in Boston 1-0. Honestly, it was I'm so angry. But the thing with America is that their approach will be very intense.
Oh, they have to be.
Because I think that these two teams are probably going to be one of the favourites to win the
Absolutely.
World Cup. So this is a marker game.
I bet they can't wait.
This is not... It's a friendly, but it's not a friendly. Yeah, this is so much more.
They can't wait.
But you know what's amazing? So many people I know are coming over from the States for it.
Really?
I know someone, right?
Oh, no.
Think about how far this is. Portland, mm-mm. So far, far west
Literally
coast.
West coast.
She's coming over for the game for like 2 days.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. That's really? How much people want to see this game. Yeah. Like, this is box office.
You know something? Before we move on from it, I'm really looking forward to it because, like I say, if the girls, if we can, the Lionesses can lay down a marker and...
Imagine if it was like
3-0. Because you have to make them, you have to make them sit back and think,
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. Yeah. And if I'm America, I'd want to do the same.
Yeah.
So then what it does, it kind of like takes the impetus away from our ladies simply because we just dealt with Europe and they've come and they're in transition. Mm. So we have got to go into the game knowing the enormity of what's going on here in respect of a mental game.
We're doing this without some of our big stars, you know.
Yeah, well.
Some of our big
stars.
Well,
this stars, will
show. This will really this show, show the depth, innit?
Yeah.
This is what
really
it's about. And I'm pleased that we're going for those games. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see a lot of games. I think Sweden are playing Australia. They're going to play Australia. We're going to see those cross kind of games.
Yeah.
And it has to happen because the World Cup's coming. And you know something? Kind of excited about the game.
Yeah. Yes. Friday, 8 p.m, baby. Are you doing ITV?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yes, I am. So it's okay, everybody. I'm there.
Good. Brilliant.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Jeanette, Eubank Ben. Like a lot of people won't understand what this is about because let me tell you, I watched in 93. I watched it. This was like, it was epic.
Mad.
It was epic. Nigel Benn, Chris Eubank. And remember, Chris Eubank came on the scene. He won a couple of fights in that. He's come on the scene and he's come with what people are seeing Chris Eubank now. Can you imagine?
What he's like
when Chris Eubank came then with that energy and everything, people wanted Nigel to punch his head off. And we used to spend a lot of time with Nigel, with Ambrose, Mendy and all the guys over at East London. We watched a lot of Nigel's fights. So we're obviously big Nigel Benn fans.
Yeah.
You know, went up to Manchester for that fight en masse. Eubank broke hearts that night.
Listen.
Bro. Jesus.
The thing about, do you know what? There's a book that I've been reading about the history of it. Because obviously at the time I was super young. My dad's a massive boxing fan.
Mm.
So I'm there on Saturday working. And when I think about the level of this fight and what it means, it's like a Hollywood movie script. Like, it's like your sons are coming to avenge like whatever happened decades ago. It's legacy. Mad.
And is this the first time that the Eubank Jr. and Ben Jr. have fought each other?
Yeah, they're not even the same weight.
They're not the same weight.
They just forced this to happen just because of the dads.
There's a film, there's actually a film coming out about their dads. And
a documentary or a dramatization.
No, like a dramatization. Wow. So like, because that's the rivalry was too crazy.
It was crazy.
Because you've got like these two, they're so contrasting, as in their dads, so contrasting in their characters. Then you look at these two, even in their size, they're not the same size, so they have to have a catch weight, right? So I'm looking at Chris Eubank.
What's a catch weight mean?
He has to come down, right?
Eubank Jr. has to come down.
And they're worried about that, aren't they, Jeanette?
Yeah, of course, because like, if you think about it, it's dangerous.
Because there's a video of him eating steak on the weekend.
It's actually dangerous. Like if Eubank's too big, then you're going against Ben. If you hit him, you could really, really hurt him. So they've got to be really careful. And so like, you know,
and
like,
Eubank had an issue in a previous fight where...
Being too big?
No, wasn't there an issue where an opponent got seriously injured?
No, that was his dad.
That was his dad.
Oh,
that's his dad with Michael Watson. I was at that fight as well. And that is why Chris Eubank is worried about his son coming down like that, because it's easier to go up, right?
Yeah, I guess it would be.
Do you think it would have been easier to go up?
It's easier to go up. As you get older, it's harder to shift the weight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But for him to come down, and how much has he got to lose? He's got to lose something like 3 or 4 kilos.
He's got easily 3 to 4 kilos. Like, he's coming down to like 5'8" catch weight or something.
That is tough, because he then has to stay at that. Because normally people go to the weight, and then when they finish, they can go and eat what they want.
They go and they go back up again. But he's getting weighed. Eubank Jr. is getting weighed just before he gets in the ring. And that doesn't normally happen.
Wow.
Yeah, so normally like you do the day
before
the
weighing. Yeah, that's not allowed, is it?
Nah, but then for this, it's part of the contract. He has to get weighed.
Wow.
Otherwise, if he goes in too heavy, again, Ben's going to get hurt.
He could get hurt.
Ben's tiny, you know. If he walks in here, you'll be like, rah.
He is small.
He's a small
What's
guy.
His weight? Is he a lightweight?
1.5, is it 1.57?
1.57 he goes. And I think like Eubank has to come down.
From 1.60.
Yeah,
160.
It's all mad. Wow.
You know, the thing is that that's the only thing that worries me with it, because I was at the Watson fight, and even Chris Eubank himself, senior, he's saying he doesn't want his son to take in this fight, even though Chris Eubank Jr. is continually just poking that hornet's nest, which is Conor Ben.
Yep.
He's really poking it. And you know something? It's exactly what Chris Eubank done to his dad.
Yeah.
To the point where Nigel went in there with steam coming out of his ears. And Chris Eubank was very
calm
and he beat him. But the thing is, what Conor has to do is he's got to learn from that. He's got to learn from how that went, how it went in. Because I think Eubank, from a mental side of it, he had him. A gamesmanship side of it, he totally had Nigel. Because I think by the time it came to when Eubank stopped, Nigel was out of steam.
Completely finished.
He was completely out of steam. So you're hoping that like Conor will have learned from that. But at the same time, you know, Chris Eubank saying things like, I only need to be
60%.
And I'm not making love to my girlfriend or something
like
that.
Yeah, he said that. He's not
I'll give you 2 weeks. And I'm thinking to myself, I sent a message to Conor. I said, Conor, you know what I mean? Please, because I saw what the build-up was like
you
the last
see
time.
It. You remember.
Conor, do not get involved. If he comes in and he's 60%, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's how you got to see it.
That's
You've
how.
Got to not get into the foolishness. Because when you see them across the table, you can see Conor wants to smash his face.
The thing about Conor as well, like, it's a couple of times I've sat down with him, I've had interviews or I've done work with him where he's been like co-coms. And he, when he's ready, like, when he's in the zone, forget it. Like, proper little, like, his head gets hot. So he needs to be in a position where he has to have a level of calm about him, a level of grace, because you can't go in there and just start laying it out. It's not going to happen that way. Like, you've got to be so strategic and actually box in this fight.
And although they're very different weights, how have their two career trajectories gone? Up to this point,
Conor's on his way up. He's doing good stuff. Conor's fight. He's got some serious fighters in his weight, though.
Yeah,
Jeanette.
I definitely feel someone like Conor Ben. Personally, when I saw this fight was being made, I was like, Conor doesn't need this. Like, Conor's on a trajectory where he needs to start fighting for world titles.
This is just the Rocky ways. Movie
this
fight.
This is very much a, you know, it's going to sell tickets. You know, it's pay-per-view.
Because it's been manufactured, there's no actual belts on the line
either. Nothing. This is all kudos and like bragging
and money.
Like, and dads. Like. Yeah. But then saying that, like we were saying, Chris Eubank doesn't necessarily want Eubank Jr. to do this, because he understands like what comes of it. So there's been a lot of talk about whether or not actual Chris Eubank's going to be in Junior's corner on the night. So I think it's going to be an incredible night. It's sold out so quickly. Like, it's
going to be mad. You know, what worries me is that it's something that's, all the stars don't align for it.
Yeah.
It's not the right weight. You know, it shouldn't be happening. There's no belts on the line. It's not mandatory. None of that. And it feels like it's unprovoked. So it's just brought on just because it can. And these are the These are the situations where something happens, God forbid.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, it shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. So
but surely since what happened with Eubank Senior and Watson, boxing as a sport has, the officiating and the refereeing has improved to hopefully stop something like that.
Yeah, but at the same time,
But obviously it's still boxing at the end of the day.
And it still happens.
You've still got to take the blows.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be totally honest, I just hope that they both come out okay. If one of them win, what, they're going to have a rematch?
No, and then again, all that. And then it's just again, done. You know, done after that.
Also, they have their actual careers in terms of winning belts, etc. to think about. Like, that's this what is a distraction. About.
But their promoters, obviously, you've got like Wasserman who promote Chris and then Matchroom Eddie Hearn and them that promote Connor. They're huge. They're giants in this. Do you know what I mean? Mm. They see the value. They see the benefit. And it is entertainment. Like, I can't wait for the fight. But like I said, I'm like with Ian here, I just want everyone to come out okay. Just come out okay. Absolutely. And then we can just keep it moving. But wow.
If it's a spectacle that, because the Eubank Ben fight in the 90s was thunderous.
Was it mad?
You can hear
punches. Oh my God, God, it was.
And you know what? We were so, in the end, obviously Chris won. And you're kind of pleased for him because like then he went on to kind of like really shape this. Because we're thinking, what the fuck is this guy going on? What's he talking like this for? Why is he moving like this? Why is he walking and stopping?
He's stopping
having a cane, a monocle. He was throwing everybody off,
and
bro.
That's him. And like, that was it's him. Crazy, isn't it?
Is that actually him in real life?
That's him.
It's not like a persona.
Did you see him when he was like, I think he went to the weigh-in, or he was at the weigh-in, and there was music playing.
And he was dancing.
There's something. There's something amazing about it now. Because when we first watched it, we're thinking, what's wrong with this guy?
And you just want his face to get punched in.
And then he just switches off and becomes an animal.
As a fighter, he was amazing. He's an amazing fighter.
Him and Nigel Benn, like, they are good. They were good fighters. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you sit there and you know that you're going to get a war. Like,
Nigel was devastating.
It's too much. So, like, let's see how their boys go. Because Connor's very, very good. He's very, very good. But as is Chris, so let's see. I don't know.
It should be good.
Saturday.
It should be good. Guys, flowers this week.
Aww.
Flowers this week are going to Jude Bellingham and Phil Foden.
Young Bucks. They're so cute.
You know something?
So young.
That's the future.
Fresh.
You know what? When you look at the future, so we've got Jude Bellingham. He's captain of Dortmund now, which is an unbelievable message they're sending out. I love it.
Do you think it's a bit of a like hands off our man to it's City just, and
you
others?
Know what I, you know how I would look at it? It's not hands off because it's almost like, wow, this guy's 19, he's our captain.
Captain at 19.
So this is what he's capable of. This isn't like hands off our man. This is a look at our man.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way that after this World Cup.
You can't have this man.
Jude Bellingham has to start for England in the World Cup.
Has to.
Right? So if he has a good World Cup, we're talking about 150 million straight off the bat once he comes back. And he's got no buyout clause. You look at the way those guys have come through. I remember when Jude Bellingham left Birmingham and the Birmingham fans said,
Retire the shirt.
People were laughing.
They knew.
Yeah. They saw. And like what we've seen now is that at 19, then he's got into the England squad at 17. Now he's at 19, he's captain of Dortmund. He's going to go to one of the big clubs. He will be a major star playing for one of the big clubs barring injury. And the same trajectory for someone like Phil Foden. Mm. You can almost see Phil Foden staying at Man City for the whole of his career, couldn't you?
One club
he's
man.
He's a local boy.
Yeah, one club man. You can tell.
Again, his trajectory as well, Jeanette Flo, is I remember people clamouring, he's got to go out on loan. He needs to be playing. He's a young English talent. You're curtailing him. And like Pep was saying, what are you talking about? Yeah. He's not going nowhere. He's training with David Silva, Kevin De Bruyne, Aguero.
Yeah.
Look at what Phil Foden's doing now. What we're seeing from Phil Foden in that position playing off Erling Haaland is like somebody that's not in the meat and bones of it where his slight little frame might get knocked about the place. He's coming onto balls, arriving into the box. He's now turned into the Raheem Sterling kind of Gabriel Jesus.
And just go.
Coming in, coming into the box and finishing off those chances. So now we're seeing Pep with another player that he's turned into a goal monster.
Just whipping it in like no problem.
So
look at them.
Honestly, we're talking about two two players
so
who are going to be, they are so good already. I'm giving Foden and Bellingham flowers, but you know, I'm going to give something to James Maddison.
Okay.
And the way that James Maddison's kept himself going in a Leicester side that are rock bottom, but he has, the way he's played, he's been consistent. And that's all you can do. That's all you can do. And last night again, he showed again how good he is against a Forest side that I have to say, what a rascal that's going on at Forest, man. What is going on?
Jesus Christ.
That's what I said. Forest, did you see what I
was saying?
I said, Forest have come to sing, but they've turned into Mini Bellini.
Stop it. Mini Bellini miming up the place.
They're miming up the rascal place.
Would I lie to you, baby? Would I lie to you?
Yes, I fucking would lie to you. You're lying. You know, so I'm going to give him flowers. Simply because, yes, it's against Forest, but I am happy that James Maddison is now getting that England chat around him as well. He deserves the England chat around him because that's what he wants.
Yeah.
You know, he might not be Gareth's cup of tea, but that's what you've got to do as a top player. You've got to push yourself in their consciousness, you know?
Go on, James.
Nice one, James. You're getting flowers,
man. So James, Phil and Jude for flowers.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Nice. Mini Bellini, man.
Nice boys. I couldn't believe the stat. And I know it's been a very rapid rise for City over the last couple of years, but I couldn't believe the stat that Phil Foden was the first player from Greater Manchester to score for City against United in the history of the Premier League, and also was usurped by Erling Haaland, but he is one of the only players to score a hat-trick in the Manchester derby since 1970.
Yeah, and you know something? Why that is even more of an unbelievable feat for him is because of Manchester City's capabilities in the market, you know? And the fact that we're
and
not...
And the Galacticos they put together,
yes,
right?
Yes. For him to come through and, you know, and to be honest, Pep and Man City and Bagheera-Stein, they've all managed him amazingly, right? That he's got through, they haven't let him go anywhere on loan, he's stayed there and trained. You know what I liked about him as well? Never, ever did we hear from Phil Foden, even when he's getting in and around the England squad. Never did we hear from him, yeah, I want to play. I just want to go out and play. He's just calm. You know what I mean?
And do you reckon they probably sat him down and they've had conversations with him and said, like, we know how great you can be. Just be patient.
Probably.
And
they would have had to have done
because,
that.
And yeah.
The way they've kind of drip fed him into that team more and more and more and more over the last few years. And then it felt like overnight, suddenly he was a key part of that team.
Strategies. It's worked.
It's worked.
It has definitely worked.
You know what we're seeing now? And obviously he's got Erling Haaland up front with him. He's got Kevin De Bruyne behind him. But what we're seeing is that Phil Foden needs to be played further up front for England.
Yeah.
Because we've still not...
And on the left.
Yeah. We've still not found that position. I don't want him to be in another one of those players that, yeah, but you know, when it's for England, we can't quite... we're seeing how it works for him.
So we know where we can
put him. We're seeing how it works with him. You know, he can play off of somebody up there. You know, so that's what we've got to be doing. We've got to be looking to how can we utilise this guy, what we're now seeing, who's come through an elite academy into an elite team and is now playing elite football at the very highest level.
Unbelievable football. How much do you think that him playing alongside Haaland's going to actually raise his game? Like, do you think
massive.
It's going to be mad, isn't
massive.
It?
Well, look at what he's done.
His finishing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. Even his last finish, what Phil Foden done, you know, it wasn't just like, he made it look easy. Just bam. Just whipped it into David De Gea's right hand side. He had no chance. It wasn't a tapping.
I really want to just spend a day at City's training ground and see what they do in training, because you know you always hear players like everyone who's banging on about David Beckham and how he'd spend like 2 hours after training just like hitting free kicks. Yeah. I want to know if Haaland and Foden are just hanging out for an extra hour after training and just doing shooting drills.
What was really interesting, and I always say it to Roscoe when you're watching. You know when people are doing the warm-up and you see them starting to do finishing? Always watch that, right? I watch theirs again because I always watch it. They were so clinical in their finishing in the warm-up. Watch teams. Some teams are missing it.
When I watch the QPR players do their finishing and warm-up, people are getting hit behind the goal. Yeah. They're going out to the side. It's terrible. It's bad.
Honestly,
if anybody's able to, if you're able to I don't know how you get to see that unless you were recording the game right from the start. But watch how those guys were finishing in the warm-up. That says it to me, because they're not messing around. Mm. That's what it's for. And I see too many people, and the finishing is wayward. And that is not a good thing at that stage. That's when you should be sharp and in. And that is what they were like, the City, when I watched them warming up against United. They were clinical, and they'd done it in the game.
That's the mark of a Pep team, though. No one's pissing about trying to take indirect free kicks, and they never, like,
serious,
you can't do that.
Big business, man. Yeah. Big business on that pitch.
Can I say, quickly with Jude Bellingham, they're flexing as well, saying, yo, this is what Dortmund are saying by giving Jude Bellingham the captaincy. Is, yo, look at our guy.
Crazy.
Look at our 19-year-old. He's our captain. This is what we think of him. This is how good he is. This is what I'm thinking that Dortmund have done.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
So, draw for the Women's Champions League. Group A, Chelsea have got
PSG,
Real Madrid, and Vlasnia.
Vlasnia, they're definitely going to struggle in that group for sure, alongside PSG, Chelsea, and Real Madrid. That is a tough group.
That's a tough group. Do you think Emma Hayes, she's losing sleep over Champions League?
I don't know if she's losing sleep because
it's all she's got left to win for me.
It's all she's got left to win, but I don't know if she's losing sleep because I think she's because she got to the final, I think she's almost past the point of putting too much pressure on, because she knows what happens when she does that. And that's what happened against Wolfsburg last season when they completely fell apart and lost 4-0 and looked like ghosts out there. And there were lots of things at play. Like, she had players that were ill, she had players that were injured. It was just before COVID. There was a whole thing about, or just before Christmas, sorry, there was a whole thing about where were people going to be spending Christmas.
Yeah.
So I think there was a lot of tension and nerves in the camp. But I think she knows what happens when you put too much pressure on your players.
Yeah, but also Flo, like Ian just said, it's the only thing she's got left to win,
I know.
Really.
And I know. I and I think like she wants to check thing. Out. I think she wants to just say, done, dusted, onto the next project. Yeah. I've done it all. I've won it all. And she's put together a group of players now that has Champions League winners in there. So she's so close. I think she's got more top level European experience in that squad. I think the fear is that Chelsea aren't at their best right now. And we've seen last season what happens when you're not at your best in
and
Europe.
At the start of the season with Liverpool.
With the group stages and you will get done. And I think that would be the fear for Chelsea fans is this is probably maybe the worst group they could have had. Maybe facing Wolfsburg or Lyon would have been worse than this. But that is
that's a tough group.
They start and finish their group against PSG. So with that front line, with the players that PSG have, Grace Guiro, who Chelsea tried to buy
and didn't get nowhere.
There's some narrative there. There's some narrative there. Caroline Weir's already tearing up for Real Madrid. There's narrative there. I'm scared.
Let's say she's scared.
But yeah, I want to talk about Group C because I really saw a really funny tweet. Juve and Zurich. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Daniel Van Adonk used to play at Arsenal.
Yeah.
She used to be DVD in a relationship with Beth Mead. Mm. I saw a funny tweet that was like, Group C is like the Champions League's answer to X on the Beach. And Juve, this isn't like a relationship thing, but Lina Hurtig used to play at Juve. Joe Montemuro, now yeah, Juventus coach. Let's talk about the other groups as well, because Group D is pretty spicy. You've got Lucy Bronze and Kira Walsh now at Barcelona. Obviously, Piteous is out with a long-term injury. Bayern Munich.
Georgia Stanway.
They've had a very good start to the season. Rosengard, historically a good European side. Mm. Benfica, who are no pushovers, took points of Bayern last season. That's an open group.
Can I say something? With the group, obviously, Vlasnia, you see what's happening with St. Poulton and stuff like that. But and Zurich. But when you look at these, it's tough.
Quality teams.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's gonna.
And that's the best thing about the Champions League now. It's a bit like the Euros. I was saying this yesterday because women's Euros, 16 teams.
Yeah.
Every single group is so tough.
It's competitive. Yeah.
There wasn't really, Northern Ireland, unfortunately, were kind of like the biggest pushovers of that competition. Everyone else. It was really competitive. And this is the same. You've got 16 teams. It's so tight. Two teams get out from each group every single game. And last season, Chelsea went into it as top seed, as champions of their league in pot one, and they end up finishing third in their group. Yeah. So it is wide open.
It just goes to show. And the thing about Champions League, for me personally, it's taken me a while to get into Champions League because the gulf was so big.
Yeah.
But now
and you couldn't watch the game.
You couldn't watch it. And now when you're looking at it now and you see for what it is, and you're looking, we in this country sometimes are quite arrogant in terms of our leagues being the best. Mm. And then they go out into Europe and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the groups, having the group stage format, it's just the second season they've had this at this level. It just changes everything because it creates such a better entertainment product and such a better narrative because it's not just a knockout, two-leg ties anymore.
We get out of that group though, don't we? Because yesterday I was like, when I saw Lyon, Juventus and Zurich, I was like, yeah, okay. And I was saying, do we get out of that? That's a tough group.
There were some tough moments.
I think Arsenal do get out of that group, but I think they get out of the group as runners-up. Which, on seedings makes sense.
Lyon. Yeah. I can't wait
and
to see
I think
that game.
Joe Montemurro's Juventus give them a tough
time.
Two games.
And Joe will know how to beat them. Joe will know what to do
and
to
they're,
be able
like
to
Juventus
try and
beat are him. So stubborn. They're so hard to break down. They don't score a lot of goals, but they're so hard to break down. And I think Arsenal sometimes struggle against teams
we do.
Like that.
This is where we need.
So it's going
to
be.
We need Viv
tough.
To kick in again.
So what's Leah's injury? Did you say she's injured?
She's injured. She's dropped out. Oh, no, she's being assessed in the England squad. She
what
hasn't
is
dropped
it,
out
hamstring
yet.
Hamstring or something.
Doesn't say it. Just said she picked up an injury in training and she's being assessed. So she may still feature in the game against Czech Republic, but TBC. But Rafaela's broken
out,
her foot.
She's out.
See?
After the Ajax game. So it's tough. So the first games are in a couple of weeks. We'll see how Arsenal and Chelsea squad are doing fitness-wise by then. But Arsenal start their campaign against Lyon away 19th of October. We might go for a Wright's House trip.
Should we just do it?
We should go. I really want
to
go.
Let's go to
Lyon. Then the next day, catch the train to Paris, 20th of October.
PSG.
Chelsea go to PSG. We should go.
Really? Wow.
That's
we've got to
go.
That.
That's
really?
Just after my birthday, 19th, 20th. Let's go.
If I can, I'm going.
I'll talk to Roscoe. We'll get it done.
Should we do it?
Ryan's coming over. Moose is coming over.
I love the fact that we have to talk to Roscoe for everything.
Yeah, we have to talk to Dad first.
Hey, Dad.
I see you soon.
See you very soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Flo. Thanks, Jeanette. Always a pleasure. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. But we'll see what's going on. We'll see what's going on this week. I'm quite excited about the football because you know why? Arsenal top, man.
Come on.
Laters, peeps.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.